This is a summary of Clara and the Sun by bestbookbriefings.com. Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. Part 1. In my newer days, I was placed mid-store. Through the part of the window, I watched the outside. Office workers hurrying by, taxis, tourists, beggar man and his dog. Once we'd settled in, manager allowed us to walk to the front of the store, right up to the window display. If I was there at the right time, I could see the Sun on his daily journey, crossing from building to building. When I was lucky enough to see him, I'd lean my face forward and take in as much of his nourishment as I could. We worried that if we couldn't see him, we'd grow weaker. Boy AF Rex told us there was nothing to worry about, the Sun could reach us wherever we were. He pointed to the floor and told us it was the Sun's pattern. If we touched it, we would get strong again. I crouched down and reached my hands out to the Sun's pattern, but as soon as I touched it, it faded away. Boy AF Rex told me I was greedy, that I'd taken all the nourishment for myself. Because of you, I'm going to become weak by the evening, he said. I could get sick or worse. It was a bright morning on the day the manager moved Rex to the store display. We knew a customer would look at whoever was in the display first, so of course Rex was pleased. He stood with his chin raised, the Sun's pattern all over him. On his third day, a girl came in with her mother and went straight to Rex. Her mother wandered around the store, but the girl kept on staring at Rex. Look, an AF to my right whispered. She's going to choose him. She loves him. The girl called her mother, and they looked boy AF Rex up and down. He's perfect, Mom, I heard the girl say. Which model is this? The mother asked manager. He's 8B2, manager said. Third series. He'll make a perfect companion for the right child. That's the series with the solar absorption problems, right? The mother said it right in front of Rex. He kept smiling, but the girl looked confused. The third series did have a few minor issues initially, manager admitted. But those were exaggerated reports. I've heard malabsorption can lead to behavioral problems, the mother said. She shook her head. Sorry, sweetie. We'll find you one that's perfect. Rex kept on smiling long after the customers had left, but I remembered what he'd said to me, and I understood. Although we had specifications that made sure we would remain powered, any AF would start feeling sluggish after a few hours away from the Sun. Any AF would worry that there was something wrong with them, a special fault that, if found, would make it so they never found a home. That was the reason why we AFs always thought about our turn at the window. We knew we were more likely to be chosen there, but the Sun's nourishment was the big thing. I must confess I had another reason, too. Unlike most AFs, I'd always wanted to see more of the outside. At the window, I was free to see so many things up close, things I'd only ever seen before as corners and edges. I could see inside the taxis. I could see the passersby, their shoes, their bags, their little paper cups. Sometimes they would stop by our store. Some weren't interested in us, but some came right up to the glass to look. Most of them were children. They would point, laugh, wave. Once in a while, a child would come to stare, and I'd see sadness, even anger. Manager told me children like those were lonely, because they couldn't have me. On my fourth morning at the window, I saw the taxi that let Josie out in front of our store. Her eyes were on me from the moment she stepped onto the sidewalk. She was pale and thin, and her walk was different from the others. She wasn't slow, but she paused after each step to make sure she wouldn't fall. Once she was close enough, she stopped and smiled at me through the glass. Hi, she said. Can you hear me? I nodded encouragingly. Really? Josie said. I can hardly hear me. Wow. She glanced behind her, where the mother, dark-haired and thin, was getting out of the taxi. I could see deep etches around her mouth and an angry sort of exhaustion in her eyes. I saw you yesterday, Josie said. I was passing by, but I saw you in the window, so I got Mom to stop here today. Are you French? I smiled and shook my head. Two French girls came to our last meeting, Josie said. Their hair was neat and short like yours. She looked at me quietly, and for the first time I wondered if Josie might be one of the lonely children manager had told me about. Then she brightened up. Don't you get hot sitting in the sun? She asked. I shook my head and raised my palms, indicating the loveliness of the sun falling on the two of us. Oh, right. You love the sunshine, right? Don't know how you keep looking at it. I can't even do it for a second. Josie screwed her eyes up as she turned to look at the sun, but it was quickly hidden by a tall building. I guess for you guys, the sun goes down behind that big building, right? Which means you never see where he really goes down. Where we live, there's nothing in the way. From my room, you can see the exact place he goes to at night. You'd see if you came to live with us. The mother was right behind Josie now. When she reached out to touch her daughter's shoulder, I noticed her hesitate for a moment. I have to go now, Josie said. But I'll come back soon. You won't go away, right? I shook my head and smiled. 3.5 weeks later, Josie returned. The mother watched me intently. Sorry it took me so long, Josie said, smiling widely. Did you miss me? I nodded and put on a sad face, but I was careful to show that I wasn't seriously upset. I missed you too, she said. I'm really sorry. Her smile wavered. I know Mom looks weird. I told her I wanted you, so she's sizing you up. If she says it's okay, you'll come with us, right? I nodded encouragingly. But Josie looked uncertain. Listen, she said. It's so great you want to come, and I think you'll like it with us. The thing is, sometimes I'm not so well. Don't get me wrong, you won't notice it usually, but I wanted to be straight with you. I know how lousy it feels, people telling you things will be perfect and then they aren't. Please tell me you still want to come. I nodded as seriously as I knew how. I wanted to tell her that if there was anything difficult or scary, we would face it together. Thank you, Josie said. I'll be back real soon, tomorrow if I can. Bye for now. A few weeks later, the manager gave me another turn at the window. On the fourth day, a gray afternoon, I noticed that beggar man wasn't at his usual place. I looked to the opposite side of the street and found him lying on the ground with his dog in his arms. They were pushed right up against a wall, out of the way of the passers-by. They didn't move the whole day. It was clear that they were dead. I felt sadness, even though it was good that they'd died holding each other. The next morning was a splendid day. The sun was pouring his nourishment out into the street. I saw that Beggar Man and his dog hadn't died after all the sun had saved them. Beggar Man was smiling and sitting up, petting the dog. They were both absorbing the sun's special nourishment and growing stronger by the minute. Soon, I knew, they'd be back on their feet. 3 weeks later, I was in the rear alcove when Josie entered the store. I knew it was her from her footsteps. It was definitely this store, Mom, she said. But she's not here anymore. I leaned forward until I could see them. Josie looked thinner. The mother was with her, looking even more tired. You're looking for a particular AF? Manager asked. Yes, ma'am, Josie said. She was really cute and really smart. Short dark hair and the kindest eyes. I think you mean Clara, manager said. Follow me. When Josie saw me, her face lit up with joy. You're still here. I really thought you were gone, she said. We made a promise, I said quietly. Yeah, I guess we did, Josie said. Sorry I took so long. I got a little sick, but I'm fine now. Mom. This is the one. The mother's eyes narrowed as she looked at me. This one is an older model, she said. Clara is AB2, manager said. But some say her series has never been surpassed. Mom. I don't want anyone but Clara. Every artificial friend is unique, yes? What makes Clara unique? If I had to pick one, manager said, it would be her ability to learn and observe. She has the most advanced understanding of any AF in this store. Is that so? The mother said. I'd like to ask her some questions. Clara, she said. What color are Josie's eyes? Tell me without looking. They're gray, ma'am. What pitch was her voice? Between A-flat above middle C to C octave. What did you notice about her walk? Josie's left hip is weak, so she walks in a way that will protect it from sudden motion or impact. The mother took this all in. Since you know so much about it, will you please reproduce my daughter's walk? I did my best to copy Josie's walk just the way I'd seen it. On my way back, I saw the mother looking at me. It was as if she was trying to look straight through me, like I was the glass in the window. The store was very still. Mom, Josie said quietly. Please. Very well, the mother said. We'll take her. Part 2. One of my regular tasks in Josie's home was to wake her up every morning, so that she could join the mother in the kitchen for breakfast. As breakfast for the mother was usually just a quick coffee, there was often not much time for them to talk, but I quickly learned how important it was for Josie to spend that time with her. Once, when her illness had kept her up, I allowed to fall back asleep after I'd woken her, thinking it would be best to let her rest. When she'd woken up, she shouted angry words at me, and despite her weakness, she hurried downstairs. I understood then that if she didn't join the mother for the quick coffee, there was the risk of loneliness invading Josie's day, no matter what other events it contained. In those days, when Josie's health was rather good, she liked to eat dinner after the mother had returned from work. This meant we would often go up to her bedroom to wait for the mother and to watch the son go to his resting place. The bedroom's window had a clear view of the fields all the way to the horizon, just as Josie had promised. The sky from the window was much larger than the gap of sky I saw at the store, with surprising varieties of color. Sometimes it was the color of lemons in the fruit bowl, or the gray of the slate chopping boards. When Josie was unwell, it could be the hue or her vomit or her pale feces, or even streaks of blood. The sky aside, something else drew my attention: a dark box at the end of the field. I pointed it out to Josie. Oh, that's Mr. McBain's barn, she said. I wonder why the son would rest in a place like that, I said. Yeah. You'd think he'd need a palace at the least. Maybe Mr. McBain's upgraded. Early one morning, I looked at Josie, and I could tell that she was sleeping in an unusual way. I pressed the alarm button, and the mother came straight away. She phoned for the doctor. When he arrived, he checked Josie over and said there was nothing to worry about. I knew there wasn't, Josie said, still lying on the bed. I'm just really tired is all. And now you'll be late for work. Worrying about you is my work, the mother said. Clara's too. She did well to press the alarm. I just need to sleep a little, and I'll be fine, Mom. I promise. Listen, honey. The mother leaned over until she was talking into Josie's ear. You need to get well for me. Do you understand? I hear you, Mom. Okay. Here's the deal. Get better by this weekend, and we'll go to Morgan's Falls. You love that place, right? Yes, Mom. Can we bring Clara with us? She's only been outside once. Of course she can. But you need to get better, or none of this will work. Understand? Later, once Josie had woken up, she showed me photos of the times they had visited Morgan's Falls. She showed me one where a younger Josie was sitting outdoors at a wooden table with the mother. There was a third person at the table, perhaps older than Josie. I couldn't see her face. Who is this? I asked. Oh. Josie's face became serious. That's my sister Sal. She died. She let the photo fall onto the rug with the others. How very sad. Josie shrugged. I don't remember that much. It's not like I miss her. How sad. What happened? She got sick. Not like me. Something much worse. Josie gathered the photos up. You're going to love it up there, Clara. Josie got stronger every day, and by the time Sunday came around, I was excited for the trip. The mother headed out to the car. As Josie slipped on her jacket, I saw her pause for a moment, allowing her weariness to pass through her. She noticed me looking and smiled brightly. She skipped out ahead of me and opened the passenger door by herself. I followed, but I became aware of an uncomfortable atmosphere. The mother's eyes had grown large, and she stared directly at Josie. You think you've fooled me, haven't you? She said. You're sick again. You can't hide it. I'm not, Josie said. I'm fine. Why do you pretend, Josie? Don't you know it hurts me? I'm okay, I swear. Please drive us. Clara's so looking forward to it. Clara's looking forward to it? Mom, please don't do this. You think I like this? You're sick. That's not your fault. But not telling anyone, that's not nice. Josie fell silent, her face sad and withdrawn. I'm sorry, Clara. We'll go another time, I promise. It's all right, I said. We must do what's best for Josie. I helped Josie get out, but as I was about to leave, the mother stopped me. Josie says you were looking forward to this, she said. Why don't you come with me? Josie's eyes had grown dull, as if they no longer cared about what they saw. The mother's suggestion is very kind, I said. But perhaps. It's okay, Josie said. Maybe you should go. I'm sorry I'm getting sick all the time. I don't know why, she held back tears. Sorry, Mom. Go on, Clara. You'll love it. We drove to Morgan's Fall and sat at a wooden table by the waterfall. I think it was for the best that we didn't bring Josie, she said. She wasn't well. But I do miss her. The mother looked at me silently, just like she had when she'd agreed to buy me for Josie. Okay, Clara. Since Josie isn't here, I want you to be her. Just for a little bit. You're smart, Clara. If she was sitting here instead of you, how would she sit? I adjusted my posture and slouched the way Josie would. I smiled. Very good, the mother said. Now say something. I'm sorry, I said. I'm not sure. That's Clara, the mother said. I want Josie. Hi, Mom. Josie here. Good. More. Hi, Mom. Nothing. To worry about, yeah? I'm here and I'm fine. I could hear her muttering under her breath, that's good, that's good, that's good. I told you I'd be fine. A little tired, that's all. I'm sorry I didn't bring you here, Josie. It's okay. I know you were worried. I'm okay. I wish you were, but you're not. I wish I could stop it. Don't worry, Mom. How can you say that? You're just a kid. There's special help coming, something no one's thought of. What? Who's this talking? Really, Mom. I'm going to be fine. That's enough. Enough. When we got back home, Josie was in her bedroom, drawing. She didn't look up when I greeted her. I'm so glad Josie's well. I'm okay. How was the trip? The waterfall was wonderful. It's a pity Josie couldn't come. Did Mom enjoy herself? I believe she did. But of course, she missed having Josie there. Josie glanced at me, with an expression I'd never seen before. I stood there for a long time. I'm sorry if I upset you, Josie, I said eventually. I'm not upset. What made you think that? So we're still best friends? You're my AF. So we must be, right? There was no smile in her voice. It was clear she wanted to be left alone. Part 3. I hoped things would be better between Josie and I by the next morning, but I was to be disappointed. Her cold manner continued for a long time after. I often thought of what I could have done differently, and why the consequences had been thus, seeing as I had complied with both Josie and the mother's wishes. I considered the possibility that my limitations as an older B2 model were becoming clear to them, causing regret. I knew my best course of action was to work harder than ever to be a good AF. But as it turned out, I had little time to think about the fallout of Morgan's Falls. A few days after the outing, Josie's health crumbled. She became too weak to go down and have breakfast with the mother. Instead, the mother came up to her and stood over Josie as she slept, her back very straight as she sipped her coffee. One morning, the housekeeper sent me outside. I stepped out, excited to explore despite my worry for Josie. The sky was pale and large, the sun high in his place. My mind was filled with the question, why hadn't the sun sent his special nourishment to heal Josie, like he had for Beggar Man and his dog? I'd given much thought to this matter, and now I was able to put the pieces together. For all his kindness, the sun was still very busy. Surely many people other than Josie needed his attention. Perhaps his attention needed to be drawn to Josie in a special, noticeable way. I looked towards Mr. McBain's barn, where Josie had told me the sun went to rest at the end of the day. The timing of my journey was crucial. By the time I made it to the gate of the barn, the sun was already low in the sky. What I was about to do would require all my concentration. The inside of the barn was filled with an orange light, his patterns falling all across the wooden floor. If I was right, and the sun was passing through the barn on the way to his real resting place, then I needed to be direct and to the point. "Please make Josie better," I said. Just like with Beggar Man. I remembered Boy AF Rex telling me I was greedy. But Josie's just a child. She has done nothing unkind. I realized that I might have angered the sun by intruding just as he was about to rest. I felt very foolish to have come to this place. One evening, the mother called for me. Josie has an appointment to get her portrait done with Mr. Capaldi next Thursday, she said. I'll be driving her to town, and I want you to come with us. Mr. Capaldi has a special interest in AFs. He may have a few questions for you. Part 4. This will be a relaxing procedure, Mr. Capaldi assured the mother. He was balding, with a bushy beard that hid his smiling mouth. I'll just need to take a couple more photos. I was hoping to see what you've done so far, the mother asked. I'd like to see it too, Josie said. You must understand that it's still a work in progress, Mr. Capaldi replied. It's not easy to explain to a layperson how it'll take shape. And in my experience, if the subject sees it too early, things get messy. With that said, Mr. Capaldi took the mother to see the portrait, and led me to a room where I answered a questionnaire he designed for me. Once I completed it, I heard the two of them arguing. I followed the sound into a room at the back of Mr. Capaldi's house. There were counters attached to the wall, filled with shapes and fabrics, small tools and blades. Suspended in the middle of it all was Josie. She was leaning forward, fingers spread and arms spread wide like she was frozen in the middle of a fall. Beams of light shone on her from all angles, laying her bare. Her face was much like the real Josie, but her eyes were expressionless, her mouth upturned in a slight smile. It made this Josie look scared and disappointed. Her clothes were made out of thin tissue paper, a loose, translucent t-shirt and shorts. They made her arms and legs look even more fragile. I'd long suspected that the portrait wasn't a picture, nor a sculpture. It was an AF. The mother turned to look at me. She looked anxious, not angry. What do you think, Clara? Mr. Capaldi asked. Did I do a good job? She resembles Josie quite closely, I replied. Although perhaps the hips could be a bit narrower. The mother lowered her face into her hands. Maybe this whole thing's a mistake, she said, her voice muffled. You mustn't lose faith, Chrissy, Mr. Capaldi chided. She looked up at him, her eyes angry. It's not a matter of faith, Henry. What makes you so fucking sure I'll be able to accept that AF, however well you make her? It didn't work with Sal. What we made with Sal was a doll, nothing more, Mr. Capaldi reassured her. We've come a long way since then. The new Josie really will be Josie. Not an imitation, but a continuation. Do you really believe that? The mother demanded. With everything I'm worth. It'll be different this time around. We have Clara. But when the day comes, will I believe in it? Excuse me, I said. Mr. Capaldi is correct. I understand now why you've asked me to observe Josie. I hope such a sad day never comes, but if the current Josie passes away, I will use everything I've learned to train the new Josie. Clara, the mother said, her voice firmer now. I'm grateful, but you need to understand. Allow me to explain, Mr. Capaldi said. We're not asking you to train the new Josie. We're asking you to become her. The AF up there is empty. If the day comes, we want you to inhabit her. Not just mimic her behavior. We want you to continue her for Chrissy, and for everyone who loves her. Would that really be possible? The mother asked. Absolutely, Mr. Capaldi said. The questionnaire she's just completed is scientific proof. The trouble with our old generation, Chrissy, is that we're too sentimental. Part of us wants to believe that there's something unique inside each of us, something that can't be copied. But there's nothing like that. We know that now. You know that. The mother turned to me. This must be a shock for you, she said to me. You must have questions. I think I understand. Do you? Do you understand what I'm asking of you? If it happens, if it comes again, there's going to be no other way for me to survive. I lost Sal. I can't do it again. If you set your mind to it, who knows? I might be able to love you. You'll be Josie, and I'll always love you over everything else. I'm asking you to do it for me. Go on. Say something. I do wonder, I began. If I were to continue with the new Josie, then what would happen to all of this? I raised my arms in the air. The mother looked at me for the first time, glancing at my face, at my legs. Then she looked away. What does it matter? She said. That's just fabric. I found Josie sleeping in her bed. I heard her stir. Clara? Yes, Josie. I'd never let anything bad happen to you, she said. Nothing's changing. Did the mother discuss a new idea with you? I asked. It was nothing. Just some vague stuff. She appeared to fall asleep again. Then I heard her sheets rustle. She said she'd give up her job and stay with me all the time, if I really wanted. But I said, what would happen to Clara? And she was like, we wouldn't need her anymore. But I could tell she hadn't really thought it through. In the end, I said it wouldn't work. You don't want to give up your job, and I don't want to give up Clara. So it's not going to happen. We were quiet for some time. Perhaps, I said, the mother thought if she stayed with Josie, Josie would be less lonely. Who said I was lonely? If that was true, and Josie would be less lonely with the mother, then I would happily leave. But who says I'm lonely? I'm not. Perhaps all humans are. Potentially, at least. It was just a shitty idea, Clara. Forget it. I waited for her to say something more, but she didn't. Perhaps my presence helped to deepen her sleep. Eventually, I left her side to stand by the window, where I knew I'd see the sunrise. Part 5. Josie began to lose her strength after the portrait session. At first, it seemed no worse than her other ill phases, but new symptoms arrived. There were times when she was half awake, her eyes open but blank. She wouldn't respond when spoken to, but the mother would stand over her bed, repeating, Josie, Josie, Josie under her breath, like it was a song she wanted to memorize. 6 days later, the sky grew unusually dark, the clouds dense, and the wind more powerful. A loose section of the house started flapping loose, and from the window I could see the trees in the field were bending, waving. But Josie slept on, her breaths quick and shallow. The mother was downstairs, talking to the doctor. "Complications from the genetic modification, I know," she said. "From the moment I first held her, everything about her told me she was hungry for life. I knew I couldn't deny her the chance. Josie deserved a future worthy of her spirit. Josie took the gamble. Okay, I shook the dice, but it was always going to be her who won or lost. She bet high, and now she's going to bust. Is that it?" Behind her, through the windows, I saw something very important. "Excuse me," I said, raising my hand. "The sun's coming out." The mother glanced at the windows, and then back at me. "Sure. So what? We must go upstairs to Josie. Straight away." Josie lay on the bed, her face hidden by her hair. All around her room, the sun's patterns fell with an unusual intensity, a triangle above her dresser, a bright streak across the couch, shining bars across the floor. But Josie was in the shadows. I realized that the blinds were lowered, the light somehow spilling out of its edges. "We must open them," I cried. "We have to let the sun do his best." The mother looked at me strangely, but she raised the blinds. The sun's special nourishment burst into the room with a blinding radiance, so bright we almost fell over. Outside, the wind blew as powerfully as ever, but the sun had broken through the dark clouds. He illuminated her in a ferocious disk of orange, so bright it looked like it might catch on fire. Josie moved. She squinted her eyes. "What's with this light?" she asked. The sun continued to shine on her. She turned to lie on her back. "How are you feeling?" the mother whispered, almost fearfully. Josie slumped against her pillows. But there was a new strength to her. "You look better, honey," the mother said, excitement filling her voice. "I do feel better," Josie said. "A little dizzy, though. Just take it easy. Let's take this one step at a time." Part 6. Josie grew not only in strength, but into a young adult. The years went by, and she worked hard at her studies. There was much discussion as to what college would be the best for her. Other young adults would visit frequently, and this was how I discovered the utility room. Naturally, there was not enough space during these visits for me to stay in the bedroom. Those were busy weeks. One afternoon, the door opened, and Josie looked in with a smile. "So this is where you've been," she said. "How are you?" "Everything is fine, thank you." Josie looked around the room, glancing at the various stored items, and on the room's one high, small window. She nodded, and stacked various items under the window, so that I could step up to see through it. The view was similar to the one from her bedroom window. "You should have told me you couldn't reach it," Josie said. "I know how much you love to look out. Thank you so much." Josie gave me a hug that lasted for many moments. She was taller than me now, so she had to crouch a little. Her chin rested on my shoulder. "You've just been great, Clara." "Really? Thank you for choosing me," I said. "Of course. You be good now. Goodbye, Josie." I watched her get in the car and wave at me, one more time. Then the car drove away up the road, past the trees and the barn, just like Josie and I had watched it do many times before. Over these last few days, some of my memories have started to overlap. I can easily distinguish one memory from another by their rough borders, like a child tearing paper with her fingers. Even so, these memories fill my mind so vividly I sometimes forget where I actually am. The yard is large and open. When I first arrived, I thought the yard was untidy, but I soon learned to appreciate the way the yardmen have placed each piece of machinery into neat rows. A special visitor came a few days ago. "Clara?" I recognized manager. "Yes, of course," I said, smiling. How wonderful. I was hoping I'd find you here. How was your time with your family? They were very kind to me. I learned so much. I believe I did what was best for Josie. I'm sure I could have continued her, but it's much better how it turned out. What do you mean? I did all I could to learn her, but I don't think it would have worked out. I would have achieved accuracy. There was something special I couldn't copy. Mr. Capaldi didn't think so, but I believe he was looking in the wrong place. It wasn't inside Josie. It was inside the people who loved her. I'm sure that's right, Clara. As she walked away, she stopped and turned, and I thought perhaps she would look at me one last time. But she was looking at the distance, in the direction of the horizon. Then she kept walking. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.